It all started in 1977. And at that time, I was 13 years old. I was in eighth grade at St. Cecilia's Catholic School over on Bunker Hill. Tonight's the Night by Rod Stewart was the top song. Saturday Night Fever, Smokey and the Bandit, and the very first Star Wars were all the rage that year. But what many people, who are not as experienced, aged as I am, may not remember is telephones still looked like that. They were plugged into the wall. You had about a 5-foot radius. And that is the backdrop where the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act was designed. And so in 1977, most debt collectors worked probably with a box of index cards. They had to make telephone calls on those landlines. And if they wanted to harass you or abuse you, they really had to do it either in person or call on your landline or send you a letter in the snail mail, which would take about a week to get there. And the reason that's important is because over time, the ability to access the consumer by debt collectors has broadened very, very much. And their ability to make people's life miserable with harassment and abuse has greatly expanded with technology. In 1977, most debt collectors were small, one or two, three-man shops. They could call you, let the phone ring too many times. That was harassment at the time they passed those laws. Now in 2018, debt collections, an almost $11 billion a year industry. In the U.S., it employs 120,000 people, and there's over 8,000 collection agencies. So as you can imagine, the debt collection now is very highly digitized. You can do form demand letters and mail merge thousands of letters out to thousands of people. And so we're applying, in many respects, this 40-year-old law to these new fact scenarios. And like I said, it's there are many things that have changed, and yet the key principles are still the same. But if you're trying to find very fact-specific cases or opinions, there is an opinion. They're also fact-specific. You can find a case opinion, an FTC opinion, to apply to almost any factual situation you can come up with. And in many respects, you'll find one that supports both sides of your argument. So they're good places to start, but they're by no means, it's by no means clear. The Federal Trade Commission opinions were issued by the FTC primarily from 1988 to May 2002. And at that time, you could ask in written form, present a factual scenario to the FTC and ask them for their opinion. Is collection of a homeowner association dues, is that a consumer debt to which the federal act applies, that sort of thing. And they would issue written opinions. There's a link at page 6 of the paper to those FTC advisory opinions. And as I said, there are hundreds of them. They're organized on the FTC website by reference to section of the federal act. And you can find, as I said, one for almost any specific fact situation. It became so onerous, I believe, for the FTC to be responding to these requests for opinions that from 2002 to 2011, they would only issue opinions under what they deemed to be unusual circumstances. And although that was only, a decade ago, one of the unusual circumstances they addressed in one of their last opinion letters was voice messages. In 1977, no one had a voice message machine. Those then became, you know, the little box that you had at your house where you had a tape where someone left a message. But with the advent of cell phones and voice messages on cell phones, there were many questions about how you addressed the ability to leave a voice message with the debtor. Now, as of July of 2011, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, now is the only agency that issues the advisory opinions under the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. And that was part of the Dodd-Frank Act, where that bureau was created and put into existence. And there was a lot of, 2009, there was a conference where the CFPB had input from all over the country, and they issued not just advisory opinions, but reports on the status of consumer debt collection and the abuses in the industry.